Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to be looking, God willing, at the book of Deuteronomy in coming weeks. And I hope that you will read ahead. And don't worry about pronouncing all the names. Just, you can read them silently. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we're going to be looking, God willing, at chapters 1 through 3 this morning. This is God's word. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dai Zahab. It is an 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. In the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, Moses told the Israelites everything the Lord had commanded him to say to them. This was after he had defeated King Sihon of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and King Og of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth at Edrei. Across the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, "The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb. You have stayed at this mountain long enough. Resume your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and their neighbors in the Arabah, the hill country, the Judean foothills, the Negev, and the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates River. See, I have set the land before you. Enter and take possession of the land the Lord swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their future descendants." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The word Deuteronomy means the second law. It's the second telling of the law. It is repetition. Moses is near the end of his life. He is an old man, more than 100 years old. And he is about to leave. He's about to die. And before he does, God commands him to give instructions to the people. And the instructions that he's to give them are the instructions that he's already given them. They've already heard this. They need to hear it again. God says so. Now, I want you to see in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, that what we're going to read in this is clearly set in the context of history and geography. It is not once upon a time in a land far away. We're given the date. We're given the location. We're given geographic orientation to other places. And yet in the midst of those verses, 1 through 5, in verse 3, we are reminded that what is being proclaimed is not just Moses' opinions. It's not just what Moses thought important. Look at verse 3. "In the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, Moses told the Israelites everything the Lord had commanded him to say to them." What was his motivation? God said, "Tell them this." That's very important because one of the main things he's going to be telling them and that we're going to see in this morning's chapters is the importance of listening to the Word of God, believing the Word of God, and obeying the Word of God. It is not enough to have a Bible in your home. It is not enough to be familiar with the contents. We need to be studying the Word of God, prayerfully saying, Lord, what would you have me do? Asking God, who inspired the Scriptures, to be our teacher. When you're struggling with the meaning of a particular passage, always ask the author. Doesn't mean you can't look at commentaries, you can't turn to other Christians and ask them for insights. That's a totally legitimate thing to do. God has given to the body, in Ephesians 4 we read, God has given to the body some who are pastors, that is shepherds, some who are teachers. It is totally legit for you to be here today listening, okay? Because part of what God has commanded me to do is to teach. But please don't think that if you've got a question, you've got to wait till next week, okay? I don't know. It's all just Greek to me. No, this part's Hebrew, okay? But the author is at your house. If you're a Christian, you're not on your own. And God will not necessarily answer everything you're curious about or wondering about or wrestling with right away when you ask. I've had some things that God waited years to show me. And it wasn't because, I mean, let me clarify. There are a lot of things I still don't know. Okay? There are some things that I didn't know I didn't know. Okay? And in the process of just walking with God and studying His Word over the years, all of a sudden it was like, wow, I've read this a dozen times. How could I have missed that? But then there are other things that I knew I didn't know, and so I asked Him and He didn't answer for a long time. Until one day He did. And when He did, it was like, oh, how could I have not seen that? Sure, of course, okay, thank you. And then there are some things I still don't know that I don't know. So I'm not telling you because you know the author, spend a week with him and you'll know everything. No, spend a week with him and he'll still know everything and you still won't. But you'll know more than you did before you spent a week with him. All right? So invest in studying God's Word. And understand, in order to benefit from it, you need to know it's God's Word. I've told a story before of a pastor on Cape Cod when our church was growing and young adults were coming, and we asked the church down the street if we could please use their childcare facilities because we didn't have any. We were renting a fellowship hall at a Masonic lodge. Okay? And so our childcare program was in the kitchen, with knives and gas ovens and all kinds of other things that are perfect for little kids. So I asked if we could please rent the facilities. They said, you don't need to rent them. We'll be glad to provide them for you. We're delighted for them to be used. We have no children in our church. And that was true. They had none. So they were thrilled that there were these young couples with little kids bringing their kids over there and watching their kids taking turns and all that kind of thing. It was wonderful. And the pastor called me and he said, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? He said, how do you get all these young adults in your church? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm in my 20s myself, so maybe they just feel more comfortable with someone in my age. He said, no. He said, that's not it. I want to know, what are you doing? They come and they spend hours. They come to your house. They come to the church. What are you doing there? And I said, oh, we're studying the Bible. He said, really? I said, yes. He said, why would they be interested? I said, because we start with the premise that it is true and that it is God's word. And he said, oh, interesting. You see, he'd been trained in a seminary where he had been taught it wasn't true. It's not God's word. It's an ancient book, has a lot of ideas, people's ideas about God, etc. No. Please look at verse 3 again. Moses told the Israelites everything the Lord had commanded him to say to them. This is the word of God. We start our scripture readings with that affirmation. This is the word of God. That's why it's important. Pastor, I don't think I've heard you teach on Deuteronomy as a whole book. Well, I don't think you have heard me teach on Deuteronomy. So it's about time we did, isn't it? That's what God impressed on me as I'm praying about what are we supposed to do next. God was like, Deuteronomy. Really? I was thinking maybe something in the New Testament, one of the Gospels, something like that. Deuteronomy. Okay. Because when God speaks to you, you know what you need to do? Believe and obey. Do what he says. So that's why we're in Deuteronomy this morning. Look at verse 6. It says in verse 5, Moses began to explain the law, saying, the Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb. You've stayed at this mountain long enough. Resume your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and their neighbors in the Arabah, the hill country, the Judean foothills, the Negev, and the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates River. See, I have set the land before you. Enter and take possession of the land the Lord swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their future descendants. What Moses is about to remind these people of is a missed opportunity. A missed opportunity. Huge opportunity that God gave them, and he commanded them, go do this, and they said, no. If you've lived very long in this world, you have at least one major missed opportunity you can look back on. Because none of us always get it right. Now, sometimes it's not a matter of disobeying God. Sometimes it's just a matter of a missed opportunity. The weatherman with NBC, who invented the character Ronald McDonald, the clown, was offered stock in a hamburger company that wanted to go national. They wanted to own the Ronald McDonald character rights. He was willing to sell, but not for stock in a hamburger chain. I mean, good grief. No, I'll take $25,000 instead. Willard Scott told that story his whole life, because he would have had hundreds of millions of dollars if he had taken the stock. But instead, he played it cautious, played it smart, took the cash. Yeah. Missed opportunity. My wife's uncle used to tell the story of how a fellow in Arkansas approached him and his brother about investing some money in a chain of discount stores. The guy's name was Sam Walton. They thought, why in the world would we put our money into that? We're going to buy something that has value, like land. Decades later, the land was worth what they paid for it. And the name Walmart had become a national phenomenon and a worldwide phenomenon. And they would have had hundreds of millions of dollars if they had invested in his company. Well, these folks were told by God, I promised this land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. You're the descendants, and I'm telling you, now is the time. Go in there and take the land. I'm giving it to you. But they insisted, and you can read this, and I hope you will, go home and read chapters 1 through 3. They insisted, we need to check it out first, okay? Don't do anything hasty here. Let's just see. So they sent spies in. Look at verse 19 and following. We then set out from Horeb and went across all the great and terrible wilderness you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us. When we reached Kadesh Barnea, I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Verse 22, then all of you approached me and said, let's send men ahead of us so that they may explore the land for us and bring back a report about the route we should go up and the cities we will come to. The plan seemed good to me, so I selected 12 men from among you, one man for each tribe. They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol, scouting the land. They took some of the fruit from the land in their hands, carried it back down to us, and brought us back a report. The land the Lord our God is giving us is good. But you were not willing to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord brought us out of the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites in order to destroy us because he hates us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart, saying the people are larger and taller than we are. The cities are large, fortified to the heavens. We also saw the descendants of the Anakim there. So I said to you, don't be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you. Verse 32, but in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God who went before you on the journey to seek out a place for you to camp. He went in the fire by night and in the cloud by day to guide you on the road you were to travel. When the Lord heard your words, he grew angry and swore an oath. None of these men in this evil generation will see the good land I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land on which he has set foot, because he remained loyal to the Lord. It was a missed opportunity because of disobedience. God didn't say, if you'd like to, you can have this land. God said, I am giving this to you. Go in and take possession of it. It was disobedience. It was disobedience rooted in fear. It was fear caused by unbelief. The serpent came and said to Eve, you will not surely die. God knows that if you eat the fruit of that tree, you'll become like him. You see, God's holding out on you. God doesn't have your best interest at heart. God is against you. God is looking for a way to trip you up. God wants to hurt you. He hates you. What did these people say? God is doing this because he hates us. What's your view of God? The satanic view is that he's our enemy. In our natural state, we are at enmity against him, but not because God is hostile. God is merciful, compassionate. He has filled the earth with good things. Whatever physical problems you have and whatever things about your body you wish were different, if you just take a minute and look at the way your body works, it's astounding. God could have made it so that all we see is black and white and all we hear is monotone. And there are no textures, it all feels the same. God could have made it so that there are no flavors. Everything just tastes like smashed peas. He could have, but he didn't. He filled the world so that even in its fallen state, under a curse, we continually see the kindness and the greatness of our God. But the devil still comes and says to people who know God and to people who don't trust him. You can't trust him. He doesn't have your best at heart. The devil's a liar and the father of lies. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him or the called according to his purpose. When something seems to us to go horribly wrong, God is at work in that situation and it will be used for our good. Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, look, I want you to know that this imprisonment should not cause you to be discouraged. God's using it for the spread of the gospel. You and I need to know that whatever happens, God is at work on behalf of those who love him. So, the people believed the enemy's lie, and because they thought God was against them, hated them, they were afraid, and they disobeyed. Then we see still in chapter 1, a foolish, fleshly repentance. Look at verse 34 through 46. When the Lord heard your words, he grew angry and swore an oath, none of these men in this evil generation will see the good land I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Look at verse 37. The Lord was angry with me also because of you and said, you will not enter there either. Joshua, son of Nun, who attends you, will enter it. Encourage him, for he will enable Israel to inherit it. Your children, whom you said would be plunder, your sons who don't yet know good from evil, will enter there. I will give them the land, and they will take possession of it. But you are to turn back and head for the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. You answered me, verse 41, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight just as the Lord our God commands us. Then each of you put on his weapons of war and thought it would be easy to go up into the hill country. But the Lord said to me, tell them, don't go up and fight, for I am not with you to keep you from being defeated by your enemies. So I spoke to you, but you didn't listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command and defiantly went up into the hill country. Then the Amorites who lived there came out against you and chased you like a swarm of bees. They routed you from Seir as far as Hormah. When you returned, you wept before the Lord, but he didn't listen to your requests or pay attention to you. For this reason, you stayed in Kadesh as long as you did. Well, okay, the people sinned by not doing what God said. And so then God said, you're not going to enter into the land. So what did they do? They said, oh, we are sorry. We were wrong. Now we'll do what you command us. And they didn't do what God commanded because they still didn't believe his word. When he said, you're not going to enter in, they thought, yeah, we will. When he said, I will not go with you, they thought, we can handle it. Foolish, fleshly repentance, seeking to do what God had commanded in their own strength. Let me tell you something. You and I cannot do what God commands in our own strength. Can't do it. If you think you're going to sanctify yourself, just fix yourself up, it's not going to work. Because your problem's not just on the outside, it's on the inside. We need God to transform us. Cast yourself upon his mercy and ask for him to change you from the inside out. That's your only hope. Holiness comes from him. But these folks thought they could do it themselves. God spoke to them and said, this is what you're to do. They disobeyed and they suffered greatly as a result.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today, but we hope you're enjoying this message, and we hope you'll be sure to tune in next time when, Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution that will support us in this ministry. For more information and to access ministry resources, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE, or you can visit our website, pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE,
or contact us on the web at wvr.org.